Ron Esposito is in the studio with us tonight to talk about his new CD, Soul Sonics, Singing Bowls. Thanks for coming in, Ron.
Hey, Lee. Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Well, begin by sharing your thoughts about Singing Bowls. That's in the liner notes of your new CD.
Sure. Well, singing bowls have a history of being used for meditation, for some kinds of sound healing. Now, there's two varieties of singing bowls. One that a lot of people are familiar with come from the Buddhist tradition, the Tibetan metal singing bowls, which have been around for years and years and years, going all the way back to the bone religion that even predates Buddhism in Tibet. And the metal bowls come in a variety of sizes, from actually very large bowls that look like metal salad bowls.
Like 15 inches or so?
Yeah, big ones. And they have obviously a lower tone. And, you know, they're still resonant, but with a lower tone. And then the ones that I use, which are a little smaller, they have a higher pitch and a little more of what I call a shimmer. They sound like they're shimmering, their sound wave. So aside from the Tibetan metal bowls, by the way, which are now mostly made in Nepal, because with the Chinese occupation of Tibet, a whole lot has changed, as you might realize.
And they're brass?
They are brass with other alloys, other metal alloys within them. And the second type of bowl is what's called the quartz crystal singing bowls. And they're made out of crushed quartz silicate, which is kind of like sand, which then under pressure forms glass. And these singing bowls have been around since the 80s. For some reason or other, people think they're a lot older than they are, probably because of their association with the Tibetan singing bowls. But the quartz crystal singing bowls came about by people taking components of early computer chips that are made out of silicate that enables electrical current to pass through them. And a bunch of this silicate material got melted down, got put into forms, and lo and behold, quartz crystal singing bowls came about.
Where are they made?
You know, like a lot of things these days, some of them are made in China, but others are made here in the U.S. and in small batches. There's a number of companies that manufacture and deal them here in the United States. Now, the crystal singing bowls, again, like the metal bowls, come in a variety of sizes, a variety of pitches. And with the metal bowls, they share a very resonant quality, long ringing tones, that type of thing.
Well, how did you know what kind of tones you wanted? How hard was it to figure out which ones you wanted for what you were doing?
So, you know, I come from a musical background, having been a bass player for many, many, many years. So I'm familiar with modes, scales, tuning. And so when I acquired my first set of crystal singing bowls, I wanted to make sure that they related to the pitches that you would find on a piano, because then I would be able to play with other musicians. So the set of crystal bowls I use, they're tuned, quote unquote. Now, when I say they're tuned, the tuning actually kind of happens by accident, so to speak. So when I order bowls, they have to go into the warehouse with a tuner and strike a whole bunch of bowls till they find one that's a concert C, a concert D, you know, that type of thing. Because most bowls, they'll lean towards the pitch, but they're X number of semitones off. So they're not all concert tuning. And, you know, there's pros and cons with that. Sometimes bowls that aren't necessarily in concert pitch can have a little more tonal quality, but won't necessarily work if you're playing with a flute player.
So you play the bowls. Are you using your hands or mallets or a combination?
Actually, I use a combination of leather-wrapped sticks. They're called wands. And primarily rubber mallets that have a spherical rubber ball on the end of a dowel. And I mostly play with the rubber mallets. You get a better singing quality when you stir the bowl, but the leather-bound wands will give you a little more of a bell sound, kind of like Avon calling.
And how did you learn? Are there classes?
I've been a musician for over 50 years, so I know the music theory and all the musical end of it. So it was a matter of teaching myself the technique of spinning or stirring the bowls, as I call it. I'm not really aware of anyone, at least locally, aside from myself, who provides singing bowls lessons. But because I have a musical background, I was able to teach myself the technique.
Meditation is part of what comes hand in glove with what you're doing.
Absolutely.
I went up to the Victory of Light. I was so excited to get to see you perform, and it was called a meditative session. Explain what meditation is and the benefits of it with your music.
Meditation, to really demystify it, is really about being centered in the present moment with the breath, okay? So there's like three components. Being centered, which connotes that the mind is a little more still. Hey, there's still going to be mental activity, okay? Meditation helps us to slow the mental activity down and to notice the content of our thoughts. And then to notice when we're attaching to the thoughts and going down the road with them, and then getting out of the present moment, and then getting away from the breath. So centering, being in the breath, which literally means breathing, breathing down into the belly. Most of the time, we just breathe into the upper chest. So what meditation asks us to do is to breathe deeply down into the belly on the inhale and on the exhale, just a slow exhalation of the breath out. And commensurate with that then is the observing effect. What meditation does, like I've said, it slows the mind down. It also gets us more centered in the body and puts us fully into the present moment. A lot of times, you know, we're future tripping or living in the past to one degree or another. And when you start to operate out of the present moment, the game starts to change up.
So you can stay in the present when you're listening to your music?
That's the whole goal, right. So what the singing bowls do is they kind of act as like a tractor beam for the mind. You know, when we watch Star Trek, they've got that tractor beam that draws another spaceship in or what have you. I refer to the singing bowls as kind of a tractor beam for the mind, because it helps the mind to focus and center on the sound, and thereby enhances the deep breathing and puts us squarely in the present moment. When the bowls are going, and they're pretty powerful, you've witnessed them and experienced them live, the vibration is really strong. So it's like while the bowls are going on, they're pretty much going to draw you in.
It was very peaceful. I felt very peaceful when I came out of that session.
Yeah, and I think that's the way the bowls actually work. They're not so much about playing melodies or Beatles songs, you know, that type of thing. The intent of them is for centering and being in the present moment. And of course, because of the strong vibrations of the bowls, they act on the body in a very physical way at times, and also just help to center yourself up and kind of relax into the breathing.
And then that brings us to your new CD, because the first song on it is a 20-minute piece, which was recorded live at a Victory of Light session in 2013. Mm-hmm. You could hear a pin drop.
Yes, you can. And isn't that interesting? I am always grateful for those sessions out there at the Victory of Light Expo. People coming to that meditation session that I present, I mean, they're there to meditate. So obviously there's not going to be talking or...
There's no clearing your throat. There's no coughing. There was nothing.
Yeah, that's...
It was silent.
And it just happened. Thank you to work that way.
How do you go about creating these pieces that end up on your CDs?
I'll have some conceptual kernels, and then most of it is improvisation with some of these conceptual kernels as a glue or a map, so to speak. You know, years ago, when I was seriously on the jazz scene, I remember seeing Herbie Hancock's M1 Dishi septet live for a week at the Jazz Workshop in Boston, where I was the assistant manager. And they would come in, and they would have, let's call, a head. But once the head was played, it would be very open and spacious, and people would be improvising. And when they wanted to move into the next section, there would be a motif that would be played that would change the color or texture and go back into more improvisation. So I'm doing a similar thing on the singing bowls when I play.
Throat singing?
Throat singing, yeah, man. I remember when I worked at the old WVXU, and we had some Buddhist monks come in to record their singing and chanting. I had heard some of this stuff recorded, and I was producing the recording session, and as we were checking the mics and getting the levels, of course, they were doing their throat singing. Believe it or not, I was just able to do it. And as they were doing it, I started throat singing with them, you know, the low, almost kind of guttural sound that the Tibetans use. And the choir master was looking around because, I mean, he knew his people and he heard, hey, there's an extra voice in here somewhere. And he looked around the room and there's nobody else in the room but the monks and me. And he looked at me and I just smiled at the guy and he just smiled back. And it was like, okay, there it is. We have an extra voice here. And I was just able to do it. So I do the real low end. Kind of chanting. And there's another kind that's more nasal that gives a high whistling overtone. And that's from like Mongolia, the Siberian. There's a group called Hunhu2 that just recently played up at Miami Hamilton. And those guys will do the high whistling as well as the low end chanting. And it's quite something to hear.
Now, what else is on the CD?
Aside from the first track, which is, as you mentioned, a 20-minute live track recorded in 2013 at the Victory of Light Expo, there are four other tracks that have been previously released on two of my CDs. Three of the tracks, aside from Soul Sonics, Valentina, Taraya, and Some Truth for D, are on my CD, We Are One. And the last track, Looking In, is taken from the Soul Burst CD. So I kind of view this Soul Sonics as a compilation of Solo Bowles tracks with one new composition.
And where can folks go to see you perform?
They can go see me perform usually the last Saturday of the month at the Conscious Living Center up in Mount Auburn, where I'm an Enneagram teacher and certified life coach. And those one-hour meditations usually are the last Saturday of the month. And also, I do appear around town, usually at some yoga studios or meditation-oriented events. I have a really nice event coming up on March 8th at the Fairfield Arts Center as part of the Fine Arts Sampler Weekend, where I'll be performing with a group at the Fairfield Arts Center, I think at 2 o'clock on March 8th.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Hey, Lee, always a pleasure to be here, and your invitation is always appreciated.
Love your new CD, Soul Sonics Singing Bowles, which can be found at Ron's website, which will have a link to it on WVXU.org, or also at Everybody's Records or Shake It Records. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.